This is Optimus Prime, and you are listening to The Masters of None.
Masters of None.
There's another podcast out there called Masters of None. I checked them out. They're very funny guys.
Craft Radio.
This is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Masters of None.
A comedy podcast that doesn't suck.
Masters of None.
We talk about and debate the best and worst of pop culture, man. Interview celebs and often make offensive jokes.
This is a comedy podcast that they say doesn't suck.
Okay. Masters of None.
Brought to you by the Simply Syndicated Network, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and live on morelikeradio.com.
Yeah, this is Mo the Bartender, and you're listening to the Masters of None. He's the only guy to come into Mo's Tavern and ask for a craft beer and not a duff. Bunch of jerks.
What's going on, everybody? It's Masters of None. I am Jay. With me, of course, is Art.
Hi.
And Mike.
Yo.
This is the best baseline of all time episode. Haven't done a music show for a while. We will be chatting with former bassist for Hole and Smashing Pumpkins, Melissa Oftemauer. She's got a new venue. She lives up in Hudson, New York, up near my neck of the woods. And she's got a cool venue called the Basilica Hudson. They're doing like a Freak Flag Day party thing going on this Saturday, June 13th. Go to basilicahudson.com for more info. We'll talk about that in just a little bit. But she was very cool, has some good tales, and we'll definitely be talking bass with her. So we each kind of grabbed some of our what we think are the best bass lines of all time. Yes, gentlemen?
Yep.
Sweet. So background, in case you don't know, Mike is a drummer.
Mm-hmm.
I have loosely, played bass in a band.
Yes.
I don't know how to play bass, but
no.
I play the instrument known as the bass.
Yep.
In a band.
You could call it that, band. Sure.
Yeah. But, you know, I knew pluck this one, pluck that one, pluck that one, pluck this one, pluck that one, pluck that one. That's essentially the extent of my bass knowledge.
Yep.
And Art, what's your, any musical history for you?
Yeah, I played the clarinet, the triangle, and the turntables.
Nice. And what, third grade, fourth grade?
Third, fourth, and fifth.
Nice.
Wow.
Yeah, I actually still have my turntables on my record somewhere.
And your microphone?
Yes.
Two
I
turn.
Actually have a couple of them.
Good.
Cool.
My dad looks like my dad when he was younger, he looked like Beck.
That's a fun fact right there.
Mm-hmm. Fun fact.
It's been a while.
Or an artifact. Artifact.
Nice.
Love it.
All right, so let's. How many do each of us have? I've got like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8. Oh, it must be a top 8.5.
I've got 11, and I've got, and that was just off the top of my head. I have probably, as we go, I'll probably have 6 or 7 more.
Yeah, there's so many good ones.
Yeah.
How about you, Art?
I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12.
Nice. Yeah, so I'm drinking a Blue Point Toasted Lager straight out the bottle.
Straight out the bottle, fresh out the box.
See.
it's a hoptical for me, sir.
Nice.
Summer
ale. It's that time of year.
Oh, for sure.
All right. So why don't you guys who have more than me go first? One of you guys. Go ahead, Mike.
All right. First of all, I totally mean this. Bass is my favorite fucking instrument. It's my favorite to listen to. It's what I listen to when I hear a song. It really is. And I guess that's kind of from being a drummer. You're supposed to follow the bass. And get that, you know, get that rhythm section going. But it's just, it's the best. And I have way too many to pick from. So I'm going to just start off with Jackson 5, I Want You Back.
Mm. Nice.
Now everybody knows this part. But listen when it comes in to the actual verse. Listen to that bass. It's so fucking great.
That's a great one.
It just keeps going. It's so fucking great.
That's a great one, yeah. I love the songs that start out with, like, you know, minimalist, when it's either just a little guitar or just bass or just drum and bass. Like, I love that.
Yeah.
And bass is super fucking fun to play, man. Like, if... I took piano lessons as a kid. Right. I played saxophone in band class. You know, I like playing drums. But bass is just so fucking fun, man. And it's not that difficult. It's really not.
It's what I play when we do Rock Band, man. That's all I play. That's all I want to play is bass.
All about that bass.
All about that bass.
No treble. All right, Art, give us your next one.
All right, one of them, it was with when Aerosmith and Run DMC got together for Walk This Way.
Right there.
That's not bass though, right there.
That's guitar. That's the guitar.
Yeah.
You're talking
about just kind of in the background going boom.
Coming along with the verse boom. With the verse part. That's what I'm talking about.
Sure.
Go play it again. Explain to me the bass part, because I thought that was guitar on most of the verse. That's bass.
Yes. Okay. It's hard to hear, but it's there.
Just like me. That's why I like it.
All right. So it's not that. It wasn't the fast. Right.
Right.
Or was it? That was the bass.
That's what I heard it. That's where I heard it.
It seems like very high for a bass. No.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that kind of reminds me, and we could do mine next, because after I thought about it, I was like, wait a minute, maybe that's not the bass.
Yeah, I think that I think you both in some respects misunderstood the project.
Well, no, because good play. So do my first one. Do Nirvana, Come As You Are. That's bass, right? Or is that guitar, you think?
Straight up guitar.
That is.
We don't know what's
God
on.
Damn it. But he's not playing the same thing with the bass.
Most of it. He's playing.
That's guitar.
He's playing doom 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 doom.
All right, so there's no bass. I thought
so.
That was
Mike, so
bass.
Pretty much you were laughing at all of our things when we send them to you, right?
I was like, wait, did they think bass drums? What were they thinking?
No. I was probably thinking, cause mine are pretty much all rap, so that's probably it.
I was like, wow, I definitely won this one.
I think Melissa's not listening to this.
Yeah.
Wait, you're winning this one?
I'm like, winning. What? I'm winning.
All right. My other ones are all solid. I know that.
Okay. All right. This next one is one that's kind of in the famous section, because you wouldn't have this song without this bass line. Everybody knows it. There's no other instruments in this awesome. Fucking song.
It's just cowbell and bass.
That's it.
That's great. That's a good one. Like when I was trying to think of these, I just thought back to like when, you know, you're like warming up and sound checking, like the riffs that I would go to immediately, the ones that I actually went go. And pulled up the tabs to.
Yeah.
Because they were just so fucking fun to play.
There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah. That's immediately like how I thought of my first few. But yeah, that's a fucking great one.
I was thinking of, I'm not even joking, these, I got 11 here, they all came off the top of my head because they were all like, every time I heard one of these songs, I go, dude, listen to the fucking bass right here. Like, anytime I actually say that, it just sticks. I don't know why.
Nice. All right, what's your next one, Art?
Let's see, what rap bass things do we have here?
Your first one, dude. Your first one's a fucking good one. It's a...
Done but a G thing?
Yep. Here you go.
Bring it to the folk. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dope. Ready to make an entrance, so back on up. Cause you know we're about to rip shit up. Give me the microphone first so I can bust like a bubble.
It's so simple but perfect.
Now you know you in trouble.
Yeah. Now that is a sample of an older song too, and I can't remember the fucking.
No, they don't do that, do they?
Yeah, dude.
Dr. Dre doesn't use samples.
That is a sample of I Want to Do Something Freaky to You by Leon Haywood. You want to hear that?
Nice. Yeah.
I Want to Do Something Freaky to You.
Oh, my God.
You.
It's the whole song.
Yeah.
It makes me want to barf when I hear these.
Boop, 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 boop.
Just had the one part.
This is when like Dolomite fucks. Plays this fucking song. Damn, Leon Haywood.
Oh my God, that's in there too.
It's all here, bro.
Dude, every Biggie song is just an old like soul song.
Oh
too.
Yeah. Well, this was when this album came out, when Chronic came out, that was like the first time I remember hearing hip hop and going, wait a minute, I've heard that song before. What is that from? You know what I mean? Like Dre did a lot. But I mean, it's not like it's anything new. It's been going on forever. It's been going on since the fucking 70s with Sugar Hill Gang and Chic and all that shit. Which that's actually one of, that should be one of my songs. I'll throw that in there as we're talking about it.
Good times.
Yeah, this podcast is good times.
See, that's Good Times, right? By Chic. But you also know that same bass line as this. This is like one of the fucking OG original funky ass fucking hip hop bass lines.
Yep.
God, make you want to fucking nod your head.
I'm doing that right now.
Yeah, so was I.
Podcast.
Gotta.
I said a hip hop, the hip, the hip, the hip, 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 hop, and you don't stop the rocket, do the bang, bang, but you say up, jump the booger, do the rhythm of the booger.
Doing the worm right now.
Now what you hear is not a test, I'm rapping to the beat. And
me, the... Yeah. And there it is. Yep.
Good time.
Yeah. So anyway, back to our lists. Throw that in there as we were talking about it.
All right, I'm up. let's go old school since we're talking old school.
Yeah.
This is one of the most recognizable ones. I mean, there were two of these from back in that era.
Mm-hmm.
But let's start with Benny King, Stand By Me. Yeah. Again, it's so simple. And
very simple.
Boom, immediately you know what the song is.
Yep.
It's literally four notes.
And again, without the bass, when this song wouldn't exist.
Yeah.
Has come.
It's all bass.
And the land.
It's great. It's great.
Mm-hmm. It just needs to be so simple. That's all.
Yeah, and actually, and a lot of it's funny. Most of yours have that same theme going, where they're just kind of simple lines intertwine.
Yeah, except for like two of them, which are the fucking exact opposite.
Yeah. Yes, I know exactly which ones too.
Oh, okay. How Do You Want It by Tupac?
Oh, get it.
How do you want it?
Turn the bass up for you so you can hear.
How do you want it? How do you feel? Coming up as a nigga in a cash game, living in a fast lane, not for real.
Love the way you rap and fake your hips and push your ass out. Got a nickel wanting it so bad I'm about to pass out. Wanna dig you, and I can't even lie about it, baby. Just alleviate your clothes, time to fly about. Catch you at a club.
Alleviate your clothes. It's a fucking great lyric. That's beautiful.
To this day, one of my favorite songs.
Dude, that's one of those, like, hip-hop's huge on this, is those droning bass lines where there's really no space. It just kind of just dips from one note into another, and it just kind of keeps that, you know, keeps that rattle going in the back of your trunk, in the back of your fucking Honda Civic.
Like two midgets in the backseat wrestling.
That's good, though. That is a good one.
You're welcome.
But that one was getting really close to the brown note. You know? It's fucking low as shit. It's awesome.
Nice.
All right. Mine. I'm going to go with... Let's see. I'll go to a progressive band from the 70s.
Flow.
From the 70s. This is Yes, Roundabout.
Jersey band?
That's pretty crazy.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Not a lot of rock bands from the 70s, from that 70s era, that can tout some really kick-ass bass players. There's a couple. Mm-hmm. There's guys that were like secretly awesome that not a lot of people know about, like, or that not a lot of people think about when they think about bass players. John Paul Jones and fucking John Entwistle from The Who.
Yeah.
John Entwistle was, his nickname was the Ox because apparently he had a fucking giant dick. He also was quoted as being one of the loudest bass players to ever fucking play.
Yeah, yeah. Dude, we did a show with him on Long Island back in the radio days. The fucking giant stacks of subwoofers they brought in.
Really?
They didn't even use the house sound system.
Yeah.
They just brought in all their own shit.
Holy shit.
And it was just him. Like,
yeah.
It was just like the John Entwistle band or whatever. I didn't like stick around to see it, but I don't even understand how he was just touring by himself.
Right.
Was he just playing Who songs with some other dudes?
Just didn't give a fuck. Yeah.
But
he just didn't give a fuck.
It was like, it was just a tractor trailer full of subs. It was fucking ludicrous.
Yep. Fucking ludicrous. Crazy. So that's,
like, I wish in retrospect that I stuck around to watch that. Yeah, he died like not that long after too.
Yeah, he died fucking doing blow and banging hookers. Fucking rock and roll. Rock and roll to the end, bro.
Hell yeah. All right. My next one is... Let's go a little modern rock, and we'll go with Green Day and Longview. Someone also mentioned this one on the Facebook page. I threw it up there.
Oh, yeah.
But I remember seeing this video on like 120 minutes on MTV, like before the whole, this album even came out.
Yep.
And I was like, this is fucking great. I'm telling my friends about it. You guys got to check this shit out. It's awesome. Sit around
and watch the... Yeah, that's, oh, yeah. Again, another one that, without that bass line, that would not be that song.
Yeah.
It's fucking great. Defines that song. It's awesome. Yeah, that was an eighth grade gigantic hit for me.
Yeah. That and, like, the Mighty Mighty Boston's. Like, I found them way early.
Yeah.
I'm like, guys, this fucking band's great. What the fuck is this shit?
You want me to read a couple from Facebook?
Yes.
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. Let's see. We had a lot of people comment on this, so that's cool. Our friend Seggy said Billie Jean. Seven Nation Army, Another One Bites the Dust. Those are
nice.
Three pretty good picks right there. Again, kind of defining bass lines.
Yeah, really good picks.
You
should consider doing music for a living.
Nice. Yeah, Ollie Peters said Rapper's Delight, which was good. Here's one that I initially had on my list, but then I took it off. Peace Sells by Megadeth. Ethan Munter told us Peace Sells by Megadeth. And...
not familiar.
You wouldn't be familiar with it, but you would be familiar with it because you grew up in the MTV era and you remember MTV News.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's it. You hear it first.
Yep. Let's see.
Who's Kurt Loder at?
Yeah. Cousin Jay said Something by the Beatles. Yeah, I had a couple of Beatles songs on my list too. Hey Bulldog is fucking great.
I don't know that one.
McCartney's a fucking amazing bass player. He really is. He doesn't get enough credit.
Yeah, you don't even think of that at all.
No.
Most regular people, anyway.
Molly just wanted an ordinary life.
That's fucking great, actually.
Then Ryan Reynolds happened.
McCartney did this thing where his bass lines are almost like, they're almost like a second melody. Like they almost like...
Yeah, what was he playing with the piano? I didn't really even catch it.
You didn't catch it? Oh, it's like a counter melody to the actual guitar riff. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, it felt like a counter melody.
Whatever, sorry. Sorry, I know more than you. Whatever.
Yeah, I'm just like...
This is Brick House by the Commodores. Oh. Fucking kill you. YouTube, sometimes YouTube has it and sometimes they don't. You kind of have to search for it, but they'll have isolated things. So sometimes you can hear a song's isolated vocals or isolated bass lines.
Oh, I love the isolated vocals ones, like AC/DC and like David Lee Roth. Oh my God.
But
it's so bad.
Yeah, they're terrible. But but if you ever get a chance to listen to like isolated bass tracks, I can listen to a whole fucking song just bass and vocals. I can hear that all day.
Yeah.
The fucking greatest.
You think anybody actually plays the bass for an entire song now, or they just like piece it together in Pro Tools?
Yeah, it's probably like
when they record,
you play one riff, one time through, and then like stop.
Yeah, you listen to the click track, you get it exact.
Yeah,
and if you're off, they just time stretch it. Okay, cut paste. All right, let's do that chorus. Done. Okay, cut paste.
That's why it is so great when you do hear like a good live bass player. You're just like, oh shit, dude, that guy's a fucking whale.
I miss the days where like Billie Jean from Michael Jackson is actually a good example of this, like where you could tell it was all live because the beat is not exact.
Right.
Because like, I remember trying to mix it a lot when I was DJing and it would just be off.
I knew
it would not match exactly. Because you could mix that song into like tons of hip hop songs and just like segue like right out of hip hop into like some like classic shit. But it would always be off a little bit.
Yep.
It would fuck up your mix. It's like, God damn it. That doesn't happen anymore.
Nope. No imperfections. I kind of like dirty sounding song.
Yeah. Under Pressure by Queen, right?
Yeah.
Because mine goes like this.
Ding ding ding. Ding 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 ding.
Who's gonna see the Minions movie?
This was in our overused songs and movie trailers montage.
Bob wanted a banana.
another song that's just defined by that bass, by that bass riff, which rarely happens. Rarely do you hear the term bass riff. It's almost an oxymoron.
Yeah. All right. Should we take a quick break and talk to Melissa Oftemauer?
Yeah, do it.
All right. Let's do this. Let's talk to Melissa right now. On the line with us, we're honored to have a woman of many talents, most known as the former bassist for Hole and Smashing Pumpkins for a time, her own solo albums. She's a photographer, an actress, woman of multi-talents, and she now owns the Basilica Hudson, which is a very cool venue up in Hudson, New York. They have a cool event going on this weekend called Freak Flag Day. We're going to talk about that. It's Melissa Oftemauer. How are you, Melissa?
Excellent. Thank you. I almost didn't pick up because it said Almondale area code. You know, you're calling on Skype, I'm assuming. It's like, yes. I don't want to talk to this person. But I picked up. Maybe someone from far away needs help. I'll pick it up.
We do need help.
Lots of
Yeah.
So it's great to talk to you. Tell us, most importantly, about what you have going on this weekend, Freak Flag Day at the Basilica.
Yeah, immediate project at hand. I don't know how many of you across the river or where your listeners are in general, but
all over.
Flag Day is an alternative patriotic event for celebrating the flag, the stars and stripes that we all know so well. And in Hudson, New York, which has been my home for the last 8 years, I discovered that, they don't think about 4th of July. They celebrate Flag Day. And I guess Hudson, New York, and Troy arrival of who has the biggest Flag Day parade in the capital region. And as a Canadian who has lived in this country for a couple of decades, but never understood small town American patriotism until I moved to Hudson, New York, and saw what Flag Day was, blew my mind. As a David Lynch fan, I just thought I was in heaven. I'm like, okay, I finally get Americana, freaky, beautiful, terrifying. What the hell is going on here? Because there's everything from like the coolest, like totally put together, like firemen, you know, like all of the very impressive, you know, the organizations that come together to raise the flag for their region. And, but then there's also like gymnasts and farmers and plumbers and anyone from the community who wants to like do this big procession through town, specifically in terms of freaky and considered beautiful to some, as the churches of the region get together. And the first year I was here, there was a reenactment of Jesus on the crucifix going down our main street on a flatbed truck. And it was like a frozen statue of a man being Jesus on a crucifix. And I was so blown away by the effort and true-to-life reincarnation that someone had put into this like small-town parade. And then it ends, it culminates in this like county fair-style amusement park, you know, when they set up the rides and all that. And we live at the edge of town that overlooks not only our place, Basilica Hudson, which is a reclaimed 1880s factory turn freaky art center, avant-garde music, film, special events place. And so essentially we are right in the hub of like the manifestation of this Flag Day celebration, which is a tradition in Hudson, New York. And they set off their professional grade fireworks from our parking lot. So when we got the building, we inherited this like professional fire fork show. So the first year once I saw the parade, once I saw the effort being put in, I thought, well, we should have our own party that night. And so the sun goes down, the fireworks go off. Most of the kind of daytime festivities sort of melt away into the river sunset, and we start our Freak Flag Day parade party, which is basically become a tradition of like new wave, dark wave, industrial dance party. It's just a big party. We have a couple of DJs that come regularly from the city that just, I mean, our factory is a beautiful thing. It's a 17,000 square foot 1880s church, hence the name Basilica Hudson. And you will not be disappointed if you come celebrate Flag Day daytime in Hudson, New York, and nighttime at Basilica Hudson.
Nice. And that's this Saturday, June 13th. Tickets are $15 in advance, $20 at the door. And you can go to basilicahudson.com to get more info on that. How did you come to kind of end up in the Hudson Valley?
I'm from Montreal, which is 4 hours due north, very straight line. My partner in life and in Basilica and father of my daughter, River, he is from New York City, but went to Bard College. So when he and I met, we figured out like this perfect geographical middle ground, which was Hudson Valley. And I had not ever experienced the region other than when I fled from 9/11, post-9/11 stuff, when I got out of the city, found a friend who, and I remember very clearly, like days after September 11th, crossing the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. I'm like, Rip Van Winkle Bridge? What kind of place is this? And like found this like hidden country home protection zone from this city horror I had just witnessed. Mm-hmm. And that was my first impression of the Hudson Valley until I came back years later, once I had fallen in love with Tony and basically said, I'm not moving back to New York City. I like fled this country to go back to Montreal because I'm sick of big cities. And then he brought me here for the weekend. And I was so impressed by the combination of small urban industrial history mixed with just beauty. I mean, it's so beautiful. And close to everything. It's close to Montreal. It's close to New York. It's close to Vermont, which is the most civilized state in the union. And, just not too far from the ocean. I mean, it's amazing.
Nice.
Can I just say I love hearing you talk?
Oh, excellent.
The way you talk is amazing.
It's a 10-minute interview. We've talked like 20 minutes already about two topics. Hello.
No, I just love your phrasing. It's great. I'm just like, wow, okay. I would never have thought of those words together. It's perfect.
I was actually wondering, I'm like, some listeners, it's like falling through their ears. Like, what is she talking about? And other listeners are actually listening. Thank you.
We are. So we're incorporating this interview into the rest of our episode, which we're doing the greatest bass lines of all time.
No way! Oh, my goodness. Do you want me to go on about the bass? Because I can.
We do. Oh. We certainly do.
Well, first of all, the greatest bass line, because I want you to know that as a bass player, 25 years strong, I've been playing bass since practically, puberty / discovering the power of music. And why bass? All I can tell you is that It was an intuitive, I love rock music, and bass isn't really the first thing you think of when you love rock music. I mean, the drums, the vocals, the guitars, the distorted guitars, and the bass is this modern, modest, hidden thing in the background. And I just sort of, as a slightly shy teenager, just gravitated towards that. I kind of felt like it was the right direction for me. And as I developed in my land of music and bass, and by the time I won Bass Player of the Year from the Gibson Guitar Awards in the late 90s, I was writing my little speech. And that's when I came, I had to really think about it. I'm like, why bass? And why am I so proud that I chose bass over anything else? And my opening line was, the bass is the mother of all instruments. And it is the selfless one that you don't know the bass is there until it's gone. It is the glue to everything in every song and every show. You never really watch the bass player, but you totally notice when it's gone. Once it's gone, the world has fallen out from under you. And I am a proud bass player who doesn't even like bass or basses. Bass player, bass lines are so underrated because there aren't that many. Obviously, there's the first one that comes to mind for me, which I hope you can find a snippet of, is the Mountain Song by Jane's Addiction. There's very few moments where I I remember bass lines. Otherwise, I'm literally hiding. It's hiding. I'm not a Rage Against the Machine fan or that weird corn bass player that sounds like broken glass or something. But and then there's amazing.
You're the greatest ever.
Obviously, Led Zeppelin's got some good bass moments. Paul McCartney, of course, is the best bass player ever to exist, but he's not, I don't feel that. I hear it. It's intellectual. It's scales. So my vote is Mountain Song.
Nice. I like that. What about, who's your favorite bass player that
you
looked up
problem.
To?
Well, I don't actually like bass players. It's not a joke. There's a few moments in rock music that I love, and because I'm not a jazz or funk, I am really a rock music, new wave. There are amazing moments in The Cure, when you actually hear new wave bass, I really am more influenced by, say, than funky, soulful bass, even though, of course, Motown, there's a ton of insanely great bass players. And then even in things like the Beach Boys or the Beatles, as I said, there's impressive bass playing, but I feel within it, basically pretty rock music is somewhat almost like if you took the soul out of it's soulful, but it's also close to kind of machine right? So it's obviously no one loves the bass player in Nine Inch Nails, even though I'm friends with him, but he's not about the feel, and industrial music has machines, but and then Motown and funk and jazz has bass players. And then somewhere in the middle is rock music.
Yeah.
Motown's big.
And rock music
for sure.
Is half feeling and soul, half, half machine like or mother like.
But you can have
hides in the background.
You can have rock. I mean, there's rock bassists that will take from different pots. You know, whether it's funk and soul or kind of industrial, more effects and more sounds to it. And they'll kind of make it their own, and then but somehow it's like. It's still spun as rock music, which is just which I think would makes a bass player stand out, especially in a rock band.
Yeah, give me an example, just so I can be. I'm curious what objective outsiders like great bass players in rock music. I know there's tons, so just tell me who they are.
Right. So I'm thinking of like, I mean, as far as like you know, picking out like the soulful list, but as a rock bassist, it would be Flea. I mean, I think that's
of course, but that's like. Funk, of course, Flea is the best, and like
right.
I have one of those amazing. Yes,
but I wouldn't consider him a
like
funk
an innovative
bassist.
Innovative combo, yeah.
Yeah, but you know, you wouldn't consider him like a funk soul bassist. You consider him a rock bassist because Red Hot Chili Peppers is a rock band.
Yeah.
So,
but he's also like kind of one of a kind. He's sort of like nobody else. But yeah,
right. And then you look at somebody like. You know,
that's Claypool.
Yeah, Claypool, as far as
right,
the number of effects that he
a one of a kind guy.
Yeah.
He doesn't really sound like anybody.
Yeah, and he relies a lot too on effects and a lot of kind of industrial things
exactly.
from the industrial
yeah.
side. So it's pretty interesting. I fucking love bass. I think the bass is the best part of
me
a song.
Too. It's
seriously my favorite
to play. I tell you that every one of my like amazing guitar player friends, amazing singers, whenever they like at one point in their career realize like, oh, I decided to play bass this record or I decided to play bass this song, I'm like, isn't it so much more fun?
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
fun.
So enjoyable.
Paul Rudd loves the bass.
Yeah, dude.
Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd, the actor.
Yeah, it's in one of the movies. He's all about talking about slapping the bass. It's like, what movie
hilarious.
Was that?
That was
I don't even remember the movie.
I think, yeah.
As far as I'm a drummer, and that's what I listen to. And when I play, that's
right.
all I listen to is the bass player. So bass has become my favorite instrument and favorite thing to listen to in any song. It's just amazing.
It's also kind of a musician's instrument, put it that way. Like, if you're not really listening to the music, or it's like a subconscious, you feel it if you're in an audience, but you're not noticing it.
Yeah,
you just
right.
sort of... You have to be noticing it to really, like, appreciate it.
A lot of variables have to be in place for you to really be focused on the bass.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, bass solos are rare, and, like, greatest bass lines are hard to pick out, whereas, like, there's 1,000 guitar solos.
Yeah, right.
See, I picked it up because I thought it was going to be easier to learn than the guitar. One less string,
yeah,
one note at a time.
Probably why I added it too, but yes. I also played trumpet. Actually, me and Flea have this in common. He
yes,
and
you
I
do.
Were friends along the way as your trumpet player first, and then I kind of understood along the way that trumpet has a really, in kind of more traditional music, it's a melodic but singular note, whereas it's like other things mm-hmm. are chords, like guitars, clarinets, flutes. When you have like chords, you think in one way, and when you have individual notes, you think in another way.
Hmm.
And bass and trumpet are very similar in that you're kind of, it's simple, but it's very precise. You have to actually choose your notes wisely.
Yeah, and I think actually too, you bass players that do tend to come from other instruments, especially something like a trumpet, which is kind of considered in an orchestra as a lead
yeah.
instrument, as a kind of up in
yeah,
front playing the melody.
Melodic.
Yeah,
yep.
that a bass player that comes from that has a little bit more of a melodic feel.
Exactly, and that's definitely in terms of my simpleton grunge world. It was all about like I really prided myself in when I would go from good feel to melodic lines within a very simple chord progression. Yeah.
Right
now. All right. Before we let you go, Melissa, we got to ask you, must have, you know, people don't get to hear you in interviews too much, especially in our world. So you must have a go-to story of just your craziest memory of, you know, the heyday.
So many guys, so many.
So
and
Liz,
as a mother of a 3-year-old and like a, beautiful administrator, manager of a venue. I am so far from those stories. Although I have luckily been going through my photo archives because I took pictures throughout all of my escapades in the 90s. So there's a lot of memories that I'm floating through lately and like reminders. I would say something I'm not going to think of a particular, I'm just going to paint a picture, okay?
Yeah.
Late 90s. Late 90s, Los Angeles, Marilyn Manson, whole weird random movie stars, weird mansions in the hills, party favors, really Halloween parties where everyone is not even dressed up, they're just themselves. It's very weird. That's it. I don't know. I have too many. But,
well, there must have been one. You must have just come across one photo that you were like, oh my God, this.
Yeah, I mean, I had, but I also took photos so religiously that I'm actually putting together a book and a book of stories of that exact time through the photos. So,
look for
that. There's actually too many, but I do have a couple. Well, one of the go-tos was me and Courtney being flown out to Milan to a Versace fashion show, and her inviting us backstage to meet the models before the fashion show in this weird private white tent within the naked models, and her snapping her fingers and weird little small Italian people giving you champagne and lines of illegal drugs, and a bunch of male models lining up in a row, and her making each male introduce themselves to these two women in the band. And we were in shock. We had never experienced anything so absurd. And then we left the fashion shows with like weird Italian bodyguards in BMWs. It was pretty weird.
I like it. I like it a lot.
That's actually a very private story. I've only turned that pulled up to internal circles, but it definitely is one of my go-to internal circle stories.
Not that many people listen to our podcast.
Yeah,
we're not that huge. Your secret is safe with us.
Yeah, trust me.
Yeah. But let me tell you this. Good times.
Yeah.
Very good times.
That's awesome. Well, it's great that you came out of it so seemingly well-adjusted and doing something cool now and enjoying your life.
I can't tell you how simple and modest my life in Hudson, New York is. I highly encourage the people across the river to come to Basilica Hudson in Hudson, New York, because there's a pretty amazing eclectic community of like punk rock farmers, local like sites that we've taken over, their old glue factory that their grandmother worked at, mixed with like, you know, yes, the oddball, gay, freaky, arty, antique dealing city dwellers that have like looked to escape. It's a really good combination of very weird things up here, and I like it.
The town's really come along. It's getting very cool.
I was born there.
Turn it around.
A little fun fact.
Were you there?
Yeah, I was born in Hudson.
What, really?
Oh, really? At Columbia Memorial Hospital?
Yeah, yeah.
I guess so.
Nice.
Wow.
Congratulations, Mike.
Thank you. This is my new character, the guy who adds nothing to the conversation.
Oh, that's me, because I've been to Montreal a couple times.
There you go.
Oh, that's a good conversation, yeah. It's only 4 hours away. Can't believe how many people haven't been there from this area.
No, like, that was...
No, get in your car right now and just go.
Yeah.
4 hours. Just go, and you'll be in another country.
Growing up in New Hampshire, that like when we were in college, I went to UNH. That was like, oh wait, you can be 18 and drink in Montreal. All right, spring break.
Exactly.
Instead of going to Florida, we go to Montreal.
I know. I started at 13. That's how I got so far in rock bands.
I'm going to close this out with an awesome useless tidbit. You ready? Melissa, Concordia University. Jay, Concordia College.
Oh,
absolutely. Concordia University. That. It is a really important tidbit. It kind of is a beautiful soul.
Are you Lutheran?
You guys, what's that?
I said, are you Lutheran? Because Concordia is a big Lutheran school, isn't it?
Is it? I actually didn't know that. You're right that it might be in its history. It might be, yeah. It's actually pretty like progressive in its art department. That's all I know now.
I'm not Lutheran, so don't worry.
But if you guys, speaking of good interviews, if you have not ever encountered online a Canadian treasure called Nardwar the Human Serviette, check out that man's interviews. He's been interviewing people of the rock world since the early 90s. I met him when I first joined Hole, actually way prior to that. His garage band and my local Montreal band played on the same bill at a little club. He had a band called The Evaporators, and he He's one of the finest interviewers and has such an epic collection, but he's interviewed everyone from like the biggest rap stars to, I mean, he's like a real alternative music fan. So he really, you know, everyone from Sonic Youth to Queens of the Stone Age, every single band that's ever played in Vancouver, Canada, he has interviewed. And he was recently featured in the New York Times. So it's just like, you know, like cult, like, because he, but I always, I'm like, I've been a devoted follower of him since I was a young teenager in Montreal. But check out Nardwar, the Human Serviette, in terms of hilarious interview tactics.
Right? Nice. Awesome.
Here's one more thing we can go out on. In researching you, I found a website called, it's some sort of, I don't know, some sort of weird European thing. It's called Squizgar's Hots Chicks. And your entry, your page is Melissa after, off Demauer. Got it. And here's his little bio of you amongst many sexy photos.
Oh, boy. Okay.
Here we go. Here ems a ladies with a mouthful for the name. Melissa's after Mauer. Says that three times fast. Anyway, she has been bass players for the band's whole. I like Diz name, and the Smash Hammings Pumpkins. And she did her own solos albums and the Black Sabbath's tributes albums. What can be cooler than that, eh? Oh, and to
cuter or cooler?
K-E-W-L-E-R-S. Cooler's.
Okay. Yeah, cooler. Eh?
Oh, and to changes things up in here's so far's, she ems a redhead. Mmm.
Pretty good.
Squizgar. The master.
Can you send me the link just so I can laugh further?
Absolutely.
Okay, very good. Good digging up. And then just, you know, Nardwar, your future role model, his whole thing is these tidbits that no one, and before the internet, you really couldn't find tidbits like that. And he basically comes armed with exactly that. And then they, you know, the interviewee feels really, really like honored that the people researched. So thank you.
Nice.
All right. Thanks so much, Melissa. Basilica Hudson, Freak Flag Day is this Saturday, June 13th. That's this weekend when you're listening to this, the week it comes out. Go check it out. And what's your website? And you're on Twitter and everything?
Yep. Yeah, basilicahudson.org or any of the handles, Basilica Hudson, everything and all the usuals. And the time is dark, sharp, because there's fireworks. Just come to Hudson, New York, people of the Hudson Valley.
Nice.
Thanks so much, Melissa.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Melissa.
Thanks for reminding me I had an interview. Goodbye.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
All right, and we're back. That was cool.
Yeah,
I could talk to her for hours. She must have the most amazing Courtney Love stories.
She's
Billy Corgan stories.
Fucking awesome, dude. She's just fucking awesome. I love talking to her.
And we had an exclusive.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got the inside, the ladies getting to, what's that word? When you objectify some male models.
Yeah.
That's great.
Beautiful.
That must have just been such a weird, it was like, you know, when like Nixon met Elvis, you know, just two weird opposites.
And too, like, Mike, what you said during the interview, like, you just kind of piped in there and like, I love the way you talk. I mean, she was just very elegant.
Yeah. It was just the words she was choosing to put together. I was loving that. I was loving her phrasing on things. It's awesome.
I pulled out a dictionary a couple of times.
Yeah, man. Fucking great.
So, I liked her, Jane's Addiction Mountain song.
Oh, pick. Yeah.
Let me play a little bit of that.
Let me play a little bit of that for you.
That's a great one. And I like that she knew it immediately. She wasn't like this wishy-washy, well, there's so many. She's like, yeah, Mountain Song.
Yeah.
Jane's Addiction has a few of them, now that I think about it. Been Caught Stealing's got a great one.
There you go.
She's like, yeah, I really don't like bass players. I was like, all right.
Oh, that gives me the chills. So unmistakable.
Ultron attacks the Avengers right there.
That's actually one of the ones I used to fuck around with. Nice. Show.
Nice. It's a good one. That's a fucking good one. We'll stay in the rock category. This is Rage Against the Machine. Rage Against the Machine has a lot of great bass lines. This one is one of my favorites just because they kind of feature it a little bit at the end here. Know Your Enemy. Mm-hmm. fucking punch through this wall.
It's so just dirty and loose and filthy.
Love it. And I love it. Liz was talking about that rattling corn bass line.
Yeah.
She let it, that was fucking, that was perfect. That's exactly what I was thinking about. I don't know if that guy just knows how to tighten his strings or not. You just hear him slapping against that fretboard. You're like, Jesus Christ, man.
This is vibrating and shitty.
Hate it.
Good one. Yeah. Well, yeah, let's go with a crazy one, like the opposite of what we were talking about before, but Red Hot Chili Peppers. You know, we were talking about Flea back there, but yeah. Fucking, there's so many of his, man. He's just one of the most amazing.
You got one, I got one.
But right. Fucking Higher Ground.
Yep, here you go. Is this? Like,
get the fuck out of here.
Another one that's a remake of a Stevie Wonder song, obviously. Oh, just fucking hitting it. Right in that pocket, too. So good. That's awesome.
How do you even keep that up for an entire song? That's great. Like a 5.5 minute song, too.
I picked a Red Hot Chili Peppers song as well. I'll throw that out there while we're talking about Flea. This is
Airplane. One note from the song she wrote could fuck me where I lay. Just one note can make me choke.
That fucking
one
shit.
Note, that's not a lie. Just one note could cut my throat. One note could make me die. I like the spike with pain.
Love that.
Music is my arrow.
It's kind of different for him.
Yeah. It's
almost
funky.
like a jazzy style he's doing there.
Funky right? As shit, dude. Fucking love that.
Yeah. He's good.
Yeah, he's got, and you know, talking about a little bit, Melissa was really cool because she understands a little bit as far as like his
music theory and composition.
Yeah,
and
his but no, but his feel is so fucking. That's like all soul and R&B and funk, and he's just. But at the same time, he wears a sock on his dick and just headbangs. You know what I mean? It's just so fucking great, man. I love it. Love the juxtaposition. So cool.
All right, Art.
Let's see, what do I have left? Beastie Boys, No Sleep Till Brooklyn.
No Sleep Till!
It's probably all guitar, right? I just messed up on that.
Yeah. Still all guitar. I haven't heard bass yet.
Wait for it.
Wait. This is where I was like, does he mean bass drums?
Probably.
Yeah.
That's what you get for someone who plays a triangle.
Stop at a whammy.
Yeah.
I'm going to take all your bass parts.
Oh, boy.
And the whammy's amp explodes. It's all black.
I just get ejected from this podcast.
All right, I'm going to bring it back with a strong one here.
Do it.
Let's go old school again. Another classic, super simple, much like Stand By Me. Three notes, and you know what it is immediately. My Girl, Temptations. Done.
Yep. Even the bass line during the verses is very simple, too.
Yeah.
Tall notes. Half notes, actually. Boom.
You cannot fuck with Motown, dude.
It's so
ridiculous.
You cannot.
It's so fucking good
it's
and
so
simple.
Good.
It's like, it's amazing.
Yep.
Like that fucking song, like for real, people are still dancing at their wedding to that song.
Yep.
It's got, what, 70 years old at this point?
Every time you hear it, too, you hear something different, which is amazing, too, at the same time.
Just simple fucking tunes that are just... Forget it. They're fucking perfect.
You know, every song is like 2 minutes and 46 seconds long.
Yeah.
Because they're just like, we'll just get to the point and then get the fuck out.
Yeah.
That's it. We don't give a shit.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
It's great.
I can't think of like another genre. Like, not a genre, but a specific, you know, like thing like that that's just stood the test of time.
Think about it this way. No matter, it's the type of music where no matter where you are, I can't think of a inappropriate place to play Motown.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like party, you know, at your grandparents with little kids with in the car, you know, whatever. Like, doesn't matter. Any age, any room, any place.
Yeah. Like a crowded bar.
Yeah.
Nobody's not going to be like, oh, boo, turn this shit off.
Right. Biker bars, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Doesn't fucking matter.
It's amazing. It's really amazing.
It is.
Okay. What's funny, too, is I texted it to you guys, but I was visiting my grandmother in like a rehab facility in Florida this weekend. And there was a dude, you know, much like that. Once you hear that, you know what the song is. And there's a dude playing like a corny, like one man band for the old folks. Like, you know, just like a keyboard with all like the MIDI backing tracks, you know?
Yeah.
With the corniest like drum machines. And he hit the button to start the next song and the tiniest fake cymbals, it just went and it was immediately, it was New York, our best song parts.
That was it.
Yeah, but it just sounded like on the worst 80s right. Casio keyboard cymbal where like the cymbal doesn't even ring out the full way, it just cuts off, you know?
Yeah. All right, so I got four more. Tour rock, tour funk. What would you like?
Funk it up, brother.
All right, we're gonna go the Brothers Johnson. One of them just passed away, actually, not too long ago. But
this is Johnny Johnson, was it?
this is Ain't We Funkin' Now. A good fucking bass line like that will make me cry. I fucking love it. Oh, God.
It's a pretty good one.
Somebody can just fucking fly up and down the fret like that and make it just stanky in between your toes kind of funk.
Yeah, I totally forgot. I'm going to add one here, I think, as we go. But go ahead, Art.
I think I'm all done with mine.
Done?
Yeah.
You know, this one. You did, I don't think we played this one. Hold on.
Yo, this is I'm coming for the non-dish.
Yeah,
I'm not trying. So with the people on shoes, unless we like watch a bit on yak because of white bed, I'm conscious of hope. So people put this up all like this. I wear a jacket for the skin, that's a real old trick. From road seat, so you're one of those on the non-dish.
That's another one of those, like, you know, those hip hop droning bass lines.
Yeah.
That's fucking, that is brown note. that is brown noting. You know what's funny? I've heard that song probably, you know, 20, 30 times in my lifetime, and I never knew who it was by. And so Diddy?
Paperboy.
Diddy. Paperboy.
Never fucking knew that.
So I'm texting you one now. It'll be my next one then after this. But this is definitely one of the ones that always stuck in my head, and again, one of my go-to warm-up songs playing in a band. Clash, Guns of Brixton.
That's deep. Damn, dude. Yeah. That's all those like deep-ass bass line.
Ska songs. That's maybe why I liked it so much, so, you know, subliminally, because all like old just reggae and ska tunes just fucking full of bass, man. Yep. So many good ones. Like I love the Boss Tones, Someday I Suppose. That's one of my favorite songs of all time. That's got a great one. And you might as well do the Fugazi one too, because it's very similar.
Here you go.
Waiting Room. It's such a good song.
Yeah, dude. That's fucking sweet.
Yeah. Just that, I don't know what it's called. There's probably a name for it. Just that, like, up and down kind of reggae, whatever that is.
Yeah, I don't know.
And then that song just, like, explodes. Like, everything just kicks in at once.
Yep.
Awesome.
also love a song, kind of a sucker for a song that starts off with just the bass by itself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Here is my next one. I'll give you one of the rock ones. This is Metallica, For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yeah, do another one, Mike, because I got two left.
Okay, so do I.
Yeah, do one more.
All right, this is one more rock one that has an awesome guitar hook followed by an awesome bass solo. That little bass solo in the beginning there.
Yeah.
Just adds to that song.
Another good one like that, too, is Living on a Prayer, Bon Jovi. It starts off.
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That immediately you're like, whoa, I know this one. I take off my shirt.
These heels have been killing me all day. Let's do this.
My next one is, I just sent it to you, Mike. Do you have a chance to grab it?
I got it.
All right, I'm a sucker for an upright bass. I fucking love it.
Move upside and let the man go through. Todd.
Let the man go through. I just love the sound of it.
Yeah.
That's impressive to play an upright bass, no frets.
Yeah,
I don't. That blows my mind. I don't get how people pull that shit off.
It's all feel, man. It's crazy. That's by the way, that's Soul Coughing, Super Bon Bon.
Yeah, one of my favorite bands ever. But yeah, that fucking thing rocks. They have a lot of songs with really cool bass in it too. They were really like pretty intense band musically, but God, do they hate each other. Yeah. Mike Dodion.
Yep.
Oh, did they hate each other? He hated the three of them. The three of them hated him. It's pretty funny. You should read his book. It's good.
Yeah.
I think it's called The Book of Drugs. But yeah, I love anything with an upright bass, man.
I know what your last one's going to be, and I'm going to save my diatribe about that bass player in a sec, but this is my last one. Okay. This is Stevie Wonder, I Wish. Art, you're going to love this one, bro.
Take it a while. Looking
back on when I was a little nappy-headed boy. I got to show you. There's this one part in this song where the bass player just goes, the bass player either has a stroke or just goes off on his own, like starts another song. It's hysterical. It's after the, I think it's after the chorus.
Stevie Wonder rules.
Stevie Wonder's fucking amazing. There you go. There it is. I have too many rolling around in my head. I haven't even fucking talked about like Victor Wooten or Pistorius or fucking. Here's some other ones from Facebook. Again, had a bunch of them.
Fool's Gold's a good one.
Fool's Gold, Stone Roses.
Yeah, play that thing.
All right. We'll be right back. so?
Or is that a real high string bass?
I didn't pick that one.
I don't know. I think that's the bass. There. Doom, 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 doom. There. Thing. I don't know. I really don't know. I don't know this band.
Yeah, like a British band. All right, so that could be bullshit on that one.
Yeah.
Okay. What other ones do you want to do for you two?
Let's see. Days and
Spirit in the Sky is a good one.
Spirit in the Sky is a great one. Money by Pink Floyd. It's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
Wally Dwight, Taking Care of Business. Also,
I can't even think of that one off the top of my head.
Let's see. A little bit of it.
Like, if you can't immediately know it without hearing the song. It's not even like out front or anything. So.
No.
Or is it dislike button?
Okay.
Oh, you know what else is a good one too? I don't think anybody put is getting white lines. We could do this literally all day.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, fucking Cole's out.
Nothing without the bass line.
Yeah, seriously.
Vision, dreams of passion.
Awesome.
It's like a stupid song. It's terrible.
But it's got a great fucking bass line. Holy shit.
That's the only thing that saves it. People actually thought about stopping doing blow for like 3 seconds in the 80s. They're like,
meh.
Forget it. Well, they're just dancing and continuing to do blow.
Yep. Dan Pettisano, a friend of mine's Tool, Schism, which is a fucking great bass song.
Tool's got a bunch of good ones.
A lot of great bass lines. You want to do your last one? Because I have my...
So many from this band. Again.
So many from this guy, and I'm going to fucking pull up my favorite.
Yeah. I mean, we talked about him in the interview. Les Claypool of Primus. Probably my all-time favorite.
He's one of the fucking best.
It's hard to pick one, but Jerry Was a Race Car Driver is just fucking insane.
Yeah, wild.
That's ridiculous.
Fucking Claypool.
That's all bass, right? That's not a guitar and a bass.
All
that's
bass, dude.
It's just bass.
The guitar, the only guitar that you hear is the shit that is in the background. One sounds like a fucking cat getting ironed. The guitars in that band sucks. It's fucking Claypool carries all of them, even though the drummer's pretty good.
Yeah, the drummers have been good.
Yeah. I could pick like 8 fucking Claypool songs, but yeah. Tommy the Cat is another one. That's all bass.
Yeah. Well, not the guitar solo, but yeah.
It's fucking wild. How does he just do that?
He's an alien.
Yeah.
Is not human.
Wild.
Like, My Name is Mud.
Oh, My Name is Mud.
Simple, but iconic.
Yep. Mr. Crinkle. They talk about another upright bass. He's playing that with a bow.
Yeah, he does everything. He'll do upright. He'll do upright with a bow. He'll fucking do electric. He'll do acoustic. He'll play the fucking banjo. He makes up his own, like, bass instruments.
Yeah, one string bass called the Whamola.
Yeah. That's
what the main thing you hear in the South Park theme is. That's Claypool on a Whamola. It's fucking wild.
I don't care what anyone says. I think he's the greatest.
He's pretty goddamn good. I'll tell you one that not a lot of people point to as one of his really good ones, but it's off of Tales from the Punch Bowl, and it's called Southbound Pachyderm.
Oh, yeah. This is a Southbound Pachyderm.
Yeah, fucking love that song. Because it's all him. It's all
because he like there's great bass players, but none of them are playing lead.
Right,
the bass is always the lead instrument.
Right,
and it's making like playing the music of two instruments.
Right,
and he's singing.
Yep,
it's fucking bananas.
Yeah, this song, I fucking love this song. It's wild. He's playing this all at the same time, by the way, too. Mm-hmm. This is not like overdubbed. It's fucking wild, dude.
And then it gets faster and faster.
Yep.
Yeah, he's insane. I have that album autographed on my wall.
Yes, that's right. You do. I won that album in a radio contest. You like call nice. In number 5.
I got it from a radio station.
Nice. There you go.
Because I worked there at the time, but I got one.
You guys had some great ones too. Your buddy JT, Lou Reed, Walk on a Wild Side.
Of course.
We said Pink Floyd's Money. I mean, there's a shit ton. Oh, Tom Cochran, Ace of Spades, Motorhead. Another one. It's fucking just fast and just blow your fucking face off. You know, a lot of people talking about, there was that whole thing with Metallica. Did you hear about that?
No.
Somebody released Saint Anger with the bass parts put back in because apparently when that album was mixed, Lars was being a dick and fucking completely turned down all of the bass tracks. Had the, really? In the mix, so that's why that album sounds like fucking dog shit. There's no fucking bass line. So somebody on YouTube posted what that album should sound like with the bass put back into it, and it actually sounds pretty good.
Yeah. All the sound on that fucking album is atrocious.
Yeah.
Like, even the drums sounded
that
weird.
Snare drum, yeah. Somebody put... I also saw a YouTube video of somebody put that snare drum sound effect on Master of Puppets. It just sounds like dog shit. Oh my god, I can't believe we haven't even talked about fucking Geddy Lee.
Yeah.
Rush. He's another one, too, where, you know, he's playing... Not only is he playing... bass and singing, but he's playing keyboards at the same time too. This is like one of those songs where no, he's fucking playing every riff, even though the guitars are doing the same thing. Another progressive band. That's wild. Ooh. Beautiful.
Yeah. Man. It's hard to pick here.
It's hard to pick. I don't know. I can't fucking pick. I love bass that much.
I like either Jerry Was a Race Car Driver or Chili Peppers' Higher Ground.
All right.
Just for the sheer skill involved.
Yeah.
Sound like an old guy with like suspenders and sucking on a Werther's original right there. I think it's hands down Paperboy Dating Man. big fan of I Wish by Stevie Wonder.
Yeah, it's pretty goddamn good. Oh fuck, dude, I don't know. I can't pick at all. This is like deciding which one of your kids you want to kill. Shit,
that's exactly what it's like.
Yeah, I don't know. I would love to say something by Flea, you know.
Well, it's a Stevie Wonder song.
Mm-hmm. True. A little bit of Best of Both Worlds there.
Yep,
you get a little bit of that. All right. I don't know. I have no idea. Wait, how do you want to settle this? Mexican standoff?
Charades?
Yeah.
I don't think I wish is the best.
Fucking Jackson 5, I Want You Back was my favorite.
How's it going, too?
Was my goddamn favorite, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, I'll go with that one.
Yeah. Son of a bitch. Shit, man.
All right, fine.
All right. Love it. We'll go with that. We'll take Jackson 5.
All right.
You get one more. You get one more hit there, Michael. Posthumously.
Fair enough. Well, there you have it, folks. My Jackson 5 ABC, the greatest baseline.
I Want You Back.
I Want You Back. Essentially the same song.
Right.
Different lyrics.
You mean OPP?
Yeah.
All right, that's it. We'll talk to you guys next week at Massive Nine. I'm Jay for Mike and Art.
See
ya.
Don't forget to leave us a review and rating on iTunes and join us on Facebook and Twitter at Masters of None. Masters of None is brought to you by Simply Syndicated, lubricated by Blue Point Beer, and streaming live on morelikeradio.com.
Check out the website, mastersofnone.com. It includes episodes, news, articles, videos, pictures. So much fucking more, man. Check them out. Masters of None. Masters of a fucking excellent domain name. I'll tell you that right now. Father too many.
Someone had it and they were like, we want that. I got it again.
You think they had to buy it?
I would think, man. Like you said, that's a good name.
Once they got it, they were going way far back.
Maybe they saw that.
Maybe they got it way back.
How far back?
Way back.
How far are you going to go back?
Way back as we go around like this. All right, check them out. Mastersofnone.com.